Buzzers, welcome to the Legion After Show. We're talking about episode 10, chapter 18. We get torture, we get body swapping. That Minotaur can climb the ceiling? What? Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, we all rock out to the music of this show. Yeah. It's so good.
Always what? With the introduction.
And you were saying this song or this band has played before.
Yeah.
Yes. Jane's Addiction was in an earlier episode this season, but after we talked about it, what I should have done is researched and figured out what episode and what song it was.
It's all right.
I think it was Classic Girl, actually, but it was during like a makeout, David and Sid scene.
Nice.
Makes sense.
Well, we're talking episode 10, chapter 18, just to, you know, they just like to confuse us with the episode number, but... Anyway, I'm your host, Carrie Lane, and joined by my awesome co-hosts.
Hello, hello, Zia Anderson here.
And I'm Christian Black here.
Special guest, yeah. Welcome to... you've stopped in before, though.
Yes, yeah. I was actually on this panel with two different people. I was here with Amy and Ashley.
Nice.
And neither of you. So, you know, I like to mix it up.
Exactly. Keep things going. Exciting, just like this show, because everything's like, what?
Yeah.
We do have a live chat going on, so if you're watching this live, welcome and join us in the chat. If you're watching it later, no problem. Please comment down below your thoughts on this episode. So what were both of your initial thoughts? We're getting towards the end. We got one more. How'd this one feel for you?
I know. I loved this one. I don't know why things started falling into place for me. Mm-hmm. So I was so satisfied watching this episode.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. And this happens and this happens. And then the Minotaur comes in and you're like, oh great. That's not really explained, but at least it comes back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Christian?
I think that this was very good, but then it just made me frustrated that I'm like, oh man, but the next one's going to be amazing. But I like that the story actually had moved along really nicely, and I just really thought that what Melanie had going on, I'm using air quotes for
yeah.
Melanie, I think that that was actually kind of great. And it was, you know what it was? It was a nice recap of here's the things that David has done this season that are all kind of effed up, in case you forgot. Oh, and if that's not enough, here he is with a drill. So I think that it was great, and I like that, you know, there were a lot of the characters were all involved. So, yeah, this is like your typical... Like it's like the overture to the big finale, you know. Everybody's
so
taking their places.
So eloquently put.
Yes, everyone's like it's like places, everyone, and scene. See you next week.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. This one, I think it was episode 8, was my one that I was pumped by. Like that one had so much going on. We talked about Marvel TV Weekly of like. They just
remind me which one that was.
That was one where they're getting the plan ready.
Yes.
So it's just very exciting. Mm-hmm. But this one, yeah, so many things came into place. We get a lot more explanation and still some questions, but it was still cool. Like, for example, the very beginning, we get Lenny on the bearskin rug and David on this pile of bones, and he's looking at Sid through an orb. What do we think that was? Foreshadowing?
Alternate universe? I think it was a little bit more... I think artistic license. I don't think it's something that actually happened. I think we kind of saw something. And actually, there was a comment in the chat about that I just saw. It was somebody liked the... Oh, it scrolled and then it left. And here it is. Seb Russ says, how'd you guys feel about the classic Legion look in the opening scene? And... I mean, he sort of has the crazed look that you would sometimes see in the comics, but yeah.
Doesn't he have, like, crazier hair?
Well, that's what he's getting at.
Yeah.
Are you talking about in the comics he has
crazy
hair?
Yeah, his hair is,
no human can have the hair that David has in the comics, which is unfortunate, because...
Wigs.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, look, it's FX. They have a lot of wigs left over from the Americans now that that's over, so they can just put all those wigs together and get David a big one. But, yeah, it's a really cool look, and you're like... It's funny because he's sitting there and sort of the way it's all staged, like he's on a throne. I've seen a lot of imagery of Loki, Thor's brother, like sitting there sort of like that brooding. And as like, just in case you didn't get the idea that David might not be the best guy out there.
But people love Loki, so I feel people love David too. So
I think you're right on both counts.
Then we jump over to Sid saying, because we're kind of getting her flashback with Clark and her, and blending into the present because it's her like in bed with him. But reminded of the quote, love is what we have to save if we want to save the world, which I feel ties into the end because she's being persuaded otherwise, but we'll get to that. What do we think of the giant bathtub plug and hole in the middle of the desert?
That, to me, is so dreamlike. There's so much about these episodes are so dreamlike because that's something that's not real, but in your dream it would make perfect sense.
Yeah.
And it's just plugging a hole in the middle of the desert, which obviously makes no sense. Neither do the safes on their heads. But it's something that you would dream about.
Yeah.
Which it has me keep thinking that this might all be in David's head. I still can't help but.
That theory has been thrown around a lot.
Which I know in the comics, he has split personalities and each personality is always fighting to take over, well, take him over, and they each have a different power. And that hasn't really come into play. And I'm just wondering, I mean, in the either season, I'm just wondering if it will.
Well, you brought up the thing that I bring up every time that we talk about this on Marvel TV Weekly. Sundays at 10 Pacific here on AfterBuzz TV. And it's that what I love about David in the comics is the different characters that have different powers. And it's like, well, if you're going to need to make some fire, you need your pyromaniac character to take over.
Right.
And he has to sort of let that happen begrudgingly. So it's just, I think it's a very complicated thing to do, but this is a very complicated show. And to just sort of backtrack to the, to like the plug for the drain.
Yeah.
The reason why it works is because you don't have somebody walk up to it and go, huh, that's weird. You know what I mean? Because by the way, that's weird.
Right.
But it would really take me out of it if they said it. The fact that they're just like, okay, so this is our reality. This is what we do.
And then our department must have had so much fun. So we need to make a giant bathtub.
And they probably drew it up and they're like, nope, bigger.
Yes.
Okay, how about this? Nope, not big enough.
Even more.
And then, you got to make that hole.
Yes.
But by the way, if this is all in David's imagination and say the season or the series ends and he's like back in the mental hospital, like before the first episode, I'm going to feel really ripped off. So I really hope they don't ever do that.
I don't like the cop out of just kidding. It didn't really happen. Yeah. But I am curious. Like how you brought up, Zia, of just the like, well, is like this person and stuff like that, you know?
Are they real? Yeah. Are they actually there? Or is that part just happening in David's head? Yeah.
How many of you, and did either of you, think that bunny was a trap? I was like, duh. Oh,
of course.
Come on, Sid.
Just that's throws kinda dumb. A bunny up on a hook.
But the poor bunny. Like, how could
you
she
can
not?
Save the poor bunny and throw the cable away.
Yeah.
Or that's take
true.
The bunny and run.
Hey,
pick it up and go.
Did you realize what you just said? Take the bunny and run. Thank you.
I did not on purpose. That was good.
That's my favorite Steve Miller band
go
song.
Go on, take the bunny and run.
Yeah, see, you knew where I was going.
But yeah, that was kind of lame. I was like, really, Sid? But she's not dumb, but she's not always the quickest.
No, and I think it's a very taxing time for Sid right now.
Yeah.
You know, she's sort of having it reinforced that, you know, her boyfriend not only could destroy the world and really the entire fabric of reality, it won't take much for him to do it. And maybe this really bad guy is who you need to stop him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so she's like, well, let me just save the bunny then. You know,
yeah, you gotta save something. One thing. And get it loose in the middle of the desert. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Save it.
David goes and finds the hole too, but also, the next one was so cool, seeing the creepy Sid falling down this blackness and the credits kind of going up. And then that final shot looking down and legions written over that whole opening. That was super cool.
Yeah.
Do you guys like that? I thought it was just a great visual.
Yeah.
Because they do that. They've been having more fun with the credits of like how they animate them.
Yeah, it took them a little while. But now, like the way it's incorporated, it does usually look pretty cool. Yeah.
And then we get Melanie, ? I was like, what? But did anybody feel suspicious when her hair was so nicely done? Because before, when she was cray-cray in the base, her hair was just like, shh. And then I was like, you know what? She looks very put together.
Yes, she was very calm and collected also when she was speaking. And although it was the same narrative, she was being very persuasive over Sid. In a way, it was less crazy ramblings than she had a purpose.
Yeah. Were you either of you suspicious or guessed that it was Farouk?
Well, I felt like because of the last episode when we saw Melanie that, you know, I didn't need any convincing because I you know, when this episode starts, I'm like, all right, so she's under the spell, really, you know.
But did you think she was being possessed by him at that point, or just
under in the same way that Lenny was, okay. You know, in the hospital, you know, or I guess she was a projection there, but the same way anybody is, where it's like he's not fully possessing you. It's almost more like, you know, he's got a little bit in you and a little bit in you and a little bit in you, a little bit of everybody in the chat, you know. Yeah, so he can do all that. But so the fact that he was entirely in her, I think, is not what I expected. But I knew he was there to some, you know, inside for some extent.
Yeah. I don't think I was quite as suspicious as I should have been, but it's just more like, huh, so something's going off. I liked her, the definition of crazy, and that men are the greatest threat to our gender. And you're like, okay, you kind of said this last time, but...
She's still on that whole narrative. Yes. She feels slighted that she's lost Oliver so many times. And I think I said it last time. Yeah. I think her just broke her mind.
Yeah.
So she's still in that place.
But like Carrie, Sid is not having any of her whining at the start. She's off. And how's this relate to me?
Right.
Then I like her when Sid's like, I'm in hell. This is hell, walking around. Visually, how cool were those light tables? Like the viewing crystal balls, essentially. That was such a great way to visually show that. Because you're first like, what? And then later they have the one where it's so much torture and they have the blood overflowing.
Yeah, that was cool.
I like that. The show just keeps getting better and better with like the visuals of what they're doing to tell stuff.
Yeah, you would really think that there was an estate sale at Superman's Fortress of Solitude. You were just like, where do you get those things? Because they're awesome, you know? But there's something very otherworldly about them. Yeah.
Yes.
And then kind of how you said earlier, Christian, is they're just kind of like, hey, remember this thing with Sid and David? Just in case y'all forgot.
There might have been one or two that I didn't quite remember exactly how they happened. So I'll admit to appreciating some of the reminders. Mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because it's also reminding Sid, like, oh, let me tell you a story.
Yeah.
Which just felt too, like, come on, Sid. I want Sid to see through this faster.
Me too. I was really kind of disappointed how quickly Farouk/Melanie turned her.
Yeah. She's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess.
Just, like, weak.
Yeah.
Thought her love was stronger.
Yeah. And come on, girl. Also, like, I can't help but feel... like, they're creating the future that Sid came from by doing this.
Exactly.
I mean, you know.
No, that's what I was so annoyed with. Yeah. I'm like, come on, the whole point was love to save this. Come on, Sid.
Right. Like, you could be the one to save him. You turning your back on him might be why he becomes what he becomes.
Exactly. We have David, the searching, which was great in the sandstorm and that lighting, and then finds the rickshaw in the monastery very quickly. The moment when he first sees Oliver and that chair stunt looked so cool. Like, grabbed him, threw him to the floor, and then just drags him to put him in another chair.
Yeah.
I was just like, point. Like, what did you accomplish there? He was already in a chair.
Yeah. Right?
He's like, yeah, but now he's in this chair. About this, in the chat, Gizmo Ramirez, which is a great name, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you guys think Oliver was in control the whole time of his body while talking to David? And does that change how you feel about David torturing Oliver? I'll answer the second part first.
Yeah,
very good.
David did not think that was Oliver.
No.
He assumed it was Farouk.
He was very surprised.
Yeah. So it doesn't change the way I feel about him. I did not think that he was 100% Oliver. Like I was saying, I thought that, you know, there was like a little bug in his ear, sort of, you know, a little bit of Shadow King there. But what did you ladies think?
I mean, I mostly agree with you. I thought that it was Farouk, though. I was when you see that moment where he realizes that it's not Farouk and it's just Oliver, I was like, oh. But yeah, it didn't change how I felt about it at all, because you can see on David's face that he doesn't at all know. And he's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, I don't think David would have done it if he knew.
No, and I don't think so.
And there's the remorse afterwards. And like, basically, like, you know,
because that's why he wants to kill him even more.
Yeah.
I felt it was Farouk when he was doing the taunting and like, I'm not going to tell and I know stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's not, that doesn't feel like Oliver, even though he can be kind of mischievous. But then the moment later when we find out, when David realizes, oh, you're not him. Then that's when I had Melanie is totally him.
Yeah. And I will lobby a bit of a complaint here. David is quite possibly the single most powerful mutant on Earth. why does he need a drill exactly? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you can have some kind of like flame sword that you're using to torture. You could do stuff in his brain. So you go inside his brain and then you can
or
do anything.
Or you could just read his mind.
You could read his mind. Or you could go into his brain and make him think like a tank's running. Yeah. There's so much he could do. And maybe it's a budget thing when you bring the real world into it. I was like, but a drill? Like,
because it looks gross and we can all associate what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I understood, but I was just like, it's an interesting choice for a guy who can do practically anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the complaints people have with Green Lantern. It's like, you can do anything, and that's all you did. There's other complaints, too, but that was a big one.
I was going to say that movie as a whole, maybe.
I was going to say, Green Lantern can do anything except for open, you know, and break.
I thought it was fine. It was that's fine. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, with the interrogation, I was like, David ain't playing when I wrote that down. Mm-mm. I did like his line, I am the lunatic you turned me into. All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I would be like, this is what you get. The lighting was so gorgeous, of their faces so dark, and the lighting just made that interrogation crazy. And then what was up with the location hopping, though? I was like, okay, sure. Just let's pop over here and pop over there.
Yeah, I honestly had no idea what that was about. I was like, okay, cool.
Because we can?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's why.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah,
that just is like scheduling. We're like, okay, we got to get this shot.
Yeah, right.
Then we have... Most of this episode happens extremely linearly compared to other episodes where it's all over the place. But this is kind of where we get the rewind, where we see Lenny arrive again. And it's like, in case you forgot, she gets the thing out of the car. And then she stumbles upon our safe head people, which we kind of saw a little bit. Maybe it's the preview last time, but we saw like
just at the very going end. Yeah, right?
She walked up to them. So there were only about 8 when she starts there. But later, there's a lot more. Because at first I was like, there's a lot more than 8 right now. And they're kind of like meditating. I like that she gives it a try and she's all, nope, I'm done. This is boring.
I also love how she asks where the monastery is and they're all just like, it's right over there.
Yeah.
There you go. Sure.
You know. I like that she asked, too.
Yeah.
And how much do we love the Mary Poppins little case, too? Pulling.
Oh, it's an undetectable extension charm. I'm sorry. That was Harry Potter.
Oh.
So Harry Potter, Mary Poppins.
Things are bigger than they look.
TARDIS. Just,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Lots of those.
Bigger on the inside.
It was just very fun because, I mean, it's kind of cool because you can tell in that shot the case is, like, on the ground.
Right.
And then when we cut to the wider one, it's not as, like, in the sand because then she picks that one up. But it's still really cool.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
Like, sure, that's how that thing works. Again, it's similar. It's a world thing that nobody goes, that's strange.
Yeah.
They just go, cool.
And just the visual once she has the giant gun, you know, you're just like, yeah, all right. I'm, you know.
It's almost very video game character. She has this giant weapon, or anime too. Just these weapons that seem disproportionate to the person's body, but she's... Yeah, I can hold this thing.
It's killing
and
it.
It's a visual that works because you look at Aubrey Plaza and you think back to her as April on Parks and Rec, and you're like, well, I could imagine her with that giant gun, just be like, what happens if I shoot this?
Oh, absolutely.
So I think it was perfect. And you know, look, she was helping out Carrie.
Yes. Yeah.
So not you.
Yeah, the other one. Then we pop back over to Melanie and Sid, and they're we're like watching the torture, but. This is where Sid's all grossed out by it, but Melanie says she's not because, one, she goes, no, that's not my Oliver, which at that point it is.
It is.
But she says she's changed.
But then she's not her.
She's not.
So, it's so
that makes way more sense. Yes. Well, it makes more sense that, well, it's like, I don't care now.
Yeah.
It's not my body I'm using. Maybe that's it's not him because that's not my body anymore.
Ooh.
Show Sid, future Sid kissing David. So it's like,
And you could tell she's like, that's me. Why should I be upset? But you could tell she was upset.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But I'm so upset.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's all, it's not a big deal. Really, Sid, is it?
Yeah.
Tear running down her face.
She's like,
yeah.
Did he tell you the things he did with her?
I mean,
he
kissed her.
That's like, kind of it.
Yeah.
That we see.
And I feel like if there's going to be one thing to let slide, you're going to love. Yeah, it's you. Like, you could let that slide.
So, Christian, I don't think you were here when we were talking about this topic. Because we weren't all together. How would you feel if you know your future self is having special time with your wife?
Well, I think we talked about this on
Weekly. Okay.
Which, again, so it was at 10 on AfterBuzz. We did talk about it. And it's one of those things where you're like, you completely understand. You shouldn't be mad.
Yeah.
And it's like, well... If they're going to kiss somebody else, at least it's a future me.
Right. What?
But you're still mad. Because, first of all, I am so much hotter than future me. Future me has really let himself go. And I'm talking about future me like 4 months from now. He has really just let it all go.
I love how you know this.
Oh, I believe it. I know what's coming. I've got, you don't know me. I've got two kids. Yeah. One's about to be three, one's 6 months.
You're going
to
get that dad bod all the way, right?
I'm trying to perfect it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a great philosophical question because the answer is you shouldn't be mad. But anybody who says they wouldn't be mad, maybe they're not lying, but they haven't thought it through because it'd be impossible
to not. Or they're just not in that situation yet. It's one of those things that you don't know until you're in that situation and then you're like, oh.
By the way, if you ever end up in the situation where there's a future you and there's a whole thing, please let us know that you know that somebody has been with future you and you're like, I know I shouldn't be mad.
I know we asked this question before, but please leave a comment down below. Would you be weirded out by future you hooking up with your special someone? And is that weird or not? I don't know. I read Time Traveler's Wife, and that actually super deals with that topic. And essentially, you being in the same room with your other you and hooking up with that person, like the other person, and yourself. Read the book. It's weird.
That's very interesting.
It is. So I'm like, I feel I've dealt with this topic. But kind of like how you guys were saying that, like... Yeah. In, like, on paper, yeah, it shouldn't be that weird. But when you think about it, you're like, but it's not me now. Right. Maybe that's the problem. It's not me right now.
Why is future me so much more attractive? What does future me have that
I know what, though? You should be happy about that they're still attracted to future you. You know?
Touché. Yes. So we find the body. Wait, there we go. I said find the body. Oh, did David tell you why to find the body? And it shows future Sid talking to Farouk. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, David's going to destroy the world, so we need Farouk's help. I did enjoy seeing that reaction from Farouk again of, he's like, oh, humans in their World War III. And she's like, no. His just facial reaction change to that is so rewarding. That actor's great. And then we get the title where she's like, he's Legion.
Yes.
The World Killer.
I've been waiting for that.
That was actually very exciting.
Yeah. It's the first time they've referred to him as Legion.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was just one of those, cue the title phrase.
It took 18 episodes for them to refer to him as Legion.
Just a couple times.
That's all right.
Now, I know a lot of you are probably watching this on YouTube, either live or later. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we also have this as an iTunes podcast or wherever you get your podcast. So please hop over to iTunes, give us a rating. You know, 1 through 4 don't work, so 5 is a great number to choose. And, you know, leave a comment. What do you like about the show? What do you love about Legion? And we'll give you a shout out. And then let your friends know who listen to podcasts, because I know some people, like, you know, you don't have time to watch on YouTube, but you can listen to your podcast. So love to have you on over there too. Then we get the Carries in Hot Pursuit, which was so fun. I was like, oh, they're back.
I love them. But
yes. Oh, she was so good in this episode too.
Yes.
They find the car and the dog finds the safe boxes kind of littered in a row, which was interesting, because at first you're like, what's going on? This is very suspicious. They find the hole. And then all the guys start crawling out. How creepy and weird was that?
That was something straight out of a horror movie. Like, they were coming right out of hell with, like, a bunch of legs. Yes.
Yeah, no. It was just, it's funny because you said ants and it made me think of the movie Them with the giant ants. So, you've got to see. You talk about fine cinema. Ooh, it's a black and white monster movie, so it's good. But yeah, and I like, just to jump ahead, that, you know, she thinks she's done and then it's like, oh, no, there's more. But
yeah, I wrote that. I'm like, a lot more.
Yeah, and the idea that, you know, so there's the high-pitched squeal that kind of incapacitates everybody. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily need the graphic of the guy with the mask on and, like, vomit. His puke coming out. Yeah. But at the same time, you're like, okay, they were really dedicated to getting that visual in this episode.
It added to that scene.
Yeah, it definitely did. And, you know, Carrie's like, oh, got a little nosebleed.
That's it.
Anyway, let me just give everybody the beatdown that they need. Yeah, that's why she's great.
Yes.
That she's like, oh, this is slightly uncomfortable. Let me make things very uncomfortable for all of you. Yeah.
Let me get my staff and kick some ass. Yeah.
I actually thought she was going to start slicing them in half and it would be a callback to the episode with all the Davids in it.
That
I'm still waiting for that, by the way. Because I feel like that was some kind of foreshadowing.
Oh. But good we'll point. See.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get a great look on it because there's a couple close-ups, but not really. But they all kind of have interesting barcode almost facial tattoos.
I was noticing that.
And one of them had a number, so I don't know if that's like there's so many of them. And that's how they keep track of them. I don't know. What do you think? Did you guys notice? I did enjoy, though, male Carrie watching the other Carrie kick butt because I don't think he gets to see it that often because he's normally at base when she's gone out and done
stuff.
And he just was like, wow.
Like, they shared a moment.
They had a moment. She looked over. She's like, I got this. It's okay. And she's like, are you okay? And then, yeah, we mentioned Oliver. Yeah, he kind of passes out. And then, yeah, that was a moment I'm like, David, you couldn't have read his mind from the beginning.
Yeah, just to find out. I think he just had so much anger in him that he just needed to get it out some way.
Yeah.
And then he was stupid.
We get the Minotaur thing is kind of back for that first bit, and I was just still like, do we know what it is?
I don't know. I think Melanie kissed it also.
She kissed the skull head. And then she touched it and was like, go kill the weak, and it, like, powered up because it took off the walker?
What are they called?
Well, they were, like, not crutches, but the kind of, like, the hand... I was like, I'm blank. What are the things?
Like braces?
Like braces. It drops those. It stands up out of whatever wheeled device it was in, breaks the bondages.
Grows muscles.
Yeah, like super. I was all powers
super
up.
Super Saiyan.
So what was that about? And how, that was super weird and creepy.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't know what that thing is. I feel it's a, because it's been with Melanie for a while. So the question is.
Before Farouk.
That's the question. Yeah, did Farouk plant that? And so it's been with her for the whole time? Or is it a separate thing she has? Or is it a whole other entity that's just around and attached to her?
Oh, the show loves to do that.
Yes.
You're like, what is it?
And you're like, I don't know what's going on. The Vermilion show up with Clark and they have the device. Where did it go? I wrote that down. The choke. But apparently it doesn't really matter because...
Yeah, that guy.
They're like, just kidding. Because Farouk finds Vermilion and just, where to go? Oh, yeah, Farouk just walks right up to Clark and is like, poof, everybody falls down.
Gets rid of the choke.
Do we think we're dead? I mean, they're dead?
No.
No, I think they're not dead. Yeah. And I think that the choke, or as I kept referring to it when I was taking
the tuning fork.
The giant tuning fork.
Yes.
Which it's like the giant fork in the road in the original Muppet movie, basically. Yeah. So it made me think of that. But the giant tuning fork, we will see it next week, I'm sure.
Yes.
Because you don't...
It's not destroyed. It's just sent off into the distance.
It got sent further away.
Yeah.
So it'll get moved and it'll be closer and at a very inopportune moment for someone.
Yes.
Possibly Farouk, but maybe for David.
Yeah.
So, I think... And I like the way David explained it. It's like, because then we'll just be men, you know?
For a few minutes.
But still, just the idea that it's like, we're going to settle this.
This fight. That's how you... Settle scores, right?
I mean, obviously.
Right? Yeah. I love the Vermilion retreat. They're like, well,
they say percent zero, of success. 0% chance,
Retreat.
Yeah.
They're so useless.
I like
in
that
Farouk
doesn't mind, though. He's like, okay.
Yeah, he's like, they know.
Yeah.
Good for them. Yeah.
Actually, speaking of them and the Minotaur, so they're one, it's on the ceiling, and the Vermilion just suddenly crawl up after it. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. What are they going to do? Nothing. And they die.
In the chat, Broke Black Man 94? Really?
Yes, you've been on a couple of our shows. Thanks for being here.
He thinks that's not the real tuning fork that the Shadow King moved. Maybe it was a comically large prop one. And then there's a much smaller one, maybe, I'm expanding on your idea, Broke Black Man 94. And maybe it's like in somebody's pocket, and then they're going to hit it, and that's how we'll see it happen. But I feel like that device in some way will be used next week.
Yeah. So this kind of overlaps, so we'll overlap a little bit. We have Carrie when she's kind of fighting the guys. We're thinking it's not looking so great with the assist by Lenny Sniper. Yes. That was super cool.
Perfect timing.
And then they have that shot for like a hot second where they're both standing over the hole and they just look so BAMF. I was like, these ladies are awesome. And if you guys don't know what BAMF is, badass mother... Okay, finish the sentence. but they just look so cool. Like the girls are here for the rescue. And Lenny points out, well, I can't go. I need to do it. I have another job. Carrie gets taken down the hole, which we didn't really say. But I like how Lenny, female Carrie just goes, okay, no problem. And then just drums down.
That was amazing. I was not expecting that.
I was thinking it would be straight, but I'm like, oh, that makes total sense to slow down your fall.
Yeah, because whenever there's a giant hole in anything and people jump down, you're like, yeah, but how did you know you weren't going to get hurt? And she's like, well, I'm not going to get hurt because I'm gonna take my time. Yeah. I'm in no rush. I don't need to jump right down to the bottom. Yes. And I was like, yeah, why don't people always do that down the
giant hole? She does a hero landing. Yeah. If you watch Deadpool, oh, it's so rough on the knees.
it did look a little rough, but
she handled it.
Carrie seems a little tougher than Deadpool, I'm just saying.
A little bit. She never seems to complain.
Yeah.
Then male Carrie, when he's running away, I like him citing the periodic table.
Yes. That's like his way of calming himself down.
Makes sense.
It was adorable. Yeah. He does find David, and David there is sitting on the chair, and he's very upset, which is kind of what we were talking about a little bit earlier, and he says he's thinking of all the ways he's going to kill Farouk, and what worries him is that he's enjoying it. I don't think you should be worried about that at this point, David. Farouk's done so much that you can enjoy killing him.
Yeah, I feel like that's a natural feeling. Yes. Yeah.
It's like your sister alone is reason enough to feel good about killing him. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and there's so much more.
Yeah.
You know? There's so much other hate-filled gravy to pour on top of it. But that's enough, I would say.
I was hoping we would see her again. I hope we do. Because I liked saucy Amy. From when we had the other episode.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what happens next week, if we don't see it next week, and it'll assuming that Lenny's still around next season, which I would say we hope she is, I think that that's something that we will see in the future one way or the other.
Carrie finds the broken vermilion and it's like, whoops, and Sid, but poor Sid is like, David is the monster now. And I'm like, oh, Sid, you've been so broken.
Disappointed.
Extremely disappointed.
That moment, I preferred future Sid as well.
Because
I'm like, future Sid is not such a Debbie Downer.
Seriously. She just gave up so fast. Like, I would have wanted her to be steadfast. Like, no, I'm waiting until I talk to David, get verification. Like, you can't just watch it in context, Sid. You need context.
Right.
It's like, and she's don't give up.
Been with him throughout that entire time.
Exactly.
And he hasn't, to be fair, he did tell her about future her.
Yeah.
And he was mostly open with her.
Yes.
I don't think that he withheld that. He didn't really
withhold. I liked it better when she arrived and she just like beat him up a little bit.
Yeah.
And was just like, I'm on your side. Like, that's what I want in this moment for her to be like, you said you weren't going to lie. Here are these things. Let me just take it out on you. Okay, we're good.
Right.
Not that that's an excuse to hit your partner, but like with them, it feels like a way to work things out.
Yeah.
Then the Minotaur shows up and Carrie says, okay, I'm going to take care of it. But Sid goes, no, I need to hit something. But she doesn't seem to do that well.
No. That was because there's a
last scene where it like is choking her and goes body slam to the ground. And that's kind of the last we see of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was conversation about this in the chat. And I was looking for it and I couldn't find it. And instead of giving credit to whomever was saying it, I'm sorry, I'll just summarize the idea that the battle with the Minotaur seems to be a good opportunity for Sid to lose her arm. I thought that was interesting because that was something I didn't remember.
Well, I was thinking it was her when she got the hook, but it's her left hand and the hook was in the right. So I was thinking the right was going to get infected or something and they got to lose it.
Yeah.
But it's the other hand. So, but that's a good point for the Minotaur.
But it's still a good point that could be something that we see happen early next week.
For some reason, I was thinking that was going to be way in the future when, you know, the world basically goes to crap.
Could happen now.
Yeah.
I wish we knew how far in the future Sid was.
She looked older.
Yeah.
But not much. Because
they did stuff around her eyes to make her look older. But
the way that she looks older, it could be just, you know, she had a long summer.
Right.
You know?
She didn't wear her semblor.
Yeah. She like the kids on 90210 or Saved by the Bell, she had a job at the beach club and she worked in the morning all the way till the night. She didn't get enough sleep. She was out in the sun. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking is that it's just a few months from now. But maybe I'm wrong.
Then the final shot is we have Farouk. He has his body because Melanie kisses and passes that off. Her fall after the whatever energy transferred looks so cool. Crumpled.
Yeah.
And Farouk gets up, gets outside, is so happy to be outside. And that silhouette looked gorgeous. But then David is there, but it's kind of a blurry image, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. And he says, boo. But is David really there? Because the way it was blurry was weird. Because Farouk's in focus, and David has this, like, smear thing on his frame, which looks really cool. But then I wondered, is he physically there?
Or is he still in the room and just projecting?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's possible. I have to say, it was a little bit, him getting his body back, this is just back a little bit, was a little bit anticlimactic for me. I don't know why I was expecting more. I was expecting it to be more of a production. But
I thought there would be fireworks.
Yeah, something. Yeah. And then, but he was just back in his body.
The great lighting of the stone cutting, whatever, looked kind of cool, though, with that Melanie. That did look cool,
yeah.
Like, that backlight of it looked cool. But again, yeah, it wasn't very, like, grandiose.
Right.
It was
nobody tried to stop him.
Body
nothing.
Switch.
Yeah.
And we're done. I do like, it's interesting that he's in a female body and then kisses himself.
I thought that was
little
funny
narcissistic.
It's probably something that he always wanted to do.
Right. Yeah.
He's like, finally.
Yeah.
This is what it's all been leading up to. Referring to the moment where she collapsed, it's interesting because I sat down with Chris Claremont, who's one of the co-creators of the character Legion. You'll see he and Bill Sienkiewicz's name at the end of every episode. It is something that'll be posted soon for Book Circle, and we'll use clips on Marvel TV Weekly. I just have to edit it. That's on me. But I talked about Farouk with Chris, and that's why I'm bringing this up. And he talked about how to Farouk, the mutants that he inhabits are, you throw them aside like they're nothing, like they're garbage. Yeah. And I was specifically in reference to a comic book character, one of the new mutants, a character named Karma. He was inside of her body and he ate so much, she weighed like 500 pounds. And he was just like, whatever. And then he left her. And then she was stuck like that.
Wow.
So it's a terrible, nasty thing.
Isn't that almost a bad pun with her name?
But she's actually a good person.
Okay.
Yes. It's not something that she did. Yeah. It's bad karma on the Shadow King.
Oh.
So he had obviously given this plenty of thought. And the fact that to Farouk, it's just like, well, what do I care? You know, like, like I'm just moving on. You know, it's like he has no regard for Lenny at this point, even though, you know, she's now in Amy's body and, you know, all that. But
I
just love the idea that, you know, when he moves from person to person, he's like, well, why would I care about what I did to, you know, this pair of shoes that I wore for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm, you know, it's not even a pair of shoes. It's like those shower shoes that you get that you do throw away afterwards. He's like, that's other mutants to me. That's other people, other characters. So I think it made me think of that conversation. Mm, yeah. It was just sort of like, okay, I'm done with you now, Jean Smart. I know her name is Melanie. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I don't know. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, I think the visual of the crumple was a good, like, discarding visual.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you think he was there at the end? Because you did seem to be like, oh.
I thought he was there at the end, but now that you say it, the way it looked, he might not have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but again, that's definitely that moment where you're like, yeah, but I want to see the next part.
I know. I'm going to wait for the finale.
And I always say about this show that I believe it'll make for a better binge than going week to week.
Because
I love the way, and we've talked about this on Marvel TV Weekly, I love the way that they do the sort of backtrack, the character building episodes. I'm glad they take the time for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're watching like four or five of them, the story moves along at a better pace instead of like, you know, it's really been 2 weeks since something has happened, you know, in terms of the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten interesting story. We saw the multiple Davids and I love the singing mouse, you know, all that stuff. But I think that it is a show that will ultimately work better as a binge.
Mm.
And I feel like people did binge the first season and they seemed to like to watch it that way.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Leave comments down below. Join us in the live chat. What do you think? Is Legion? Have you been enjoying it week to week? Do you like waiting? I mean, nobody really likes waiting for the next episode, but do you feel it's better to digest as, you know, back to back to back? Also, a lot of that those little details will be harder to forget because you're like, oh yeah, I just watched it.
Yeah.
And also the other question, do you think David is there with Farouk in that final shot, or is that a projection or something else? Any other thoughts on this episode before we do predictions?
I'm just really excited for the next one.
No, next one's a finale.
It just ended.
Oh my goodness.
Like he said, it ended and you're like, I'm waiting for more. Really? They do a great job of that every episode, I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Anything else in the chat?
There's an interesting conversation that actually does not tie into it. They're just sort of theorizing about Mr. Sinister and Deadpool 3. So I basically went down the rabbit hole. I was like, wait, I'm not supposed to be reading this. I'm supposed to be finding what they have to do. But there is I read that before. Xavier Jones Jr. says, is everything inside David's mind a world that he created, mm-hmm. and everyone are just personalities of him and possibilities? Great so question. That is a point we made earlier. Mm-hmm. And
not even be answered the next episode, too, because we could go through all of these two seasons and then not know. And then maybe by season three, which, by the way, they have confirmed there is a season three if you don't know. So woohoo!
Yes.
Which is nice to go into the finale going, there'll be more.
There's going
to
be more.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Though I don't know. Do we feel the... I guess we're ready for predictions. Let's do some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So one of the first questions is, with the finale coming up, do we feel everything will be wrapped up in a nice little bow, or they're going to have a lot more open-ended because we know there's going to be season three?
For some reason, I'm thinking
there's... And it's this show.
And it's the show, yeah. For some reason, I'm thinking there's going to be more open-ended.
Okay.
Because I feel like either way it goes. If he kills Farouk, then you have to deal with Legion possibly losing it and destroying the world. Or if he doesn't kill Farouk, then you possibly deal with a battle between Legion and Farouk. And I feel like that's not going to all happen in this last episode. So there's definitely going to be... It's going to be leading into something, I think.
Yeah, what about you, Christian?
I think that what we'll get will be reminiscent of the season one finale, where essentially everything from the season was tied up, and then the credits start, and you're like, oh, and then here's the thing for next year that you had no idea what's going on, and actually people missed because they stopped watching during the credits. But anyway, I think that it will not be entirely tied up, but I do think there will be at least some sense of finality, and then... they'll sort of open a can of worms for next season.
Yeah.
Because I think even though when they were in production, they probably didn't know if they had a season three, I think that, you know, one of the things that helps you get another season is to leave people asking a lot of questions, including TV executives who are like, yeah, but what now? So, so I'm sort of hedging my bets a little bit, but I think there will be some, you know, we won't get closure on everything, but I think there'll be some sense of it. And then there's going to be something completely different. You know, maybe David and Farouk have to work together for somebody who's like really, really
even
bad.
Worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say, as the Vermillion would say, 0% chance of a sighting of Charles Xavier in the season finale. That was one of those things that people were hoping for in the chat.
Yeah,
Look, I want to see him. I just don't think we will.
We got the wheelchair. That's about as close as we got.
Yeah, it's true.
That's probably going to be all we're going to get. I think I'm somewhere in between both yours of I feel a lot will be wrapped up. We'll still have questions, or a lot will be wrapped up and they'll be like, surprise. So this whole other thing, because it has been essentially two seasons with Farouk, one inside and one outside of the body.
True.
So I guess I'm kind of done with it. Like, okay, now I'm kind of ready for a new bad. But the question is, David and Farouk teaming up to fight that? That could be interesting because I don't think they would be happy about it.
No.
We do see a little bit of the preview for next time. I think a lot of this is going to be an internal struggle with David. Maybe that will touch upon the different personalities. But so far in that visual, it looked more like just other representations of him. But that's still really cool because that's kind of like the episode where there were multiple Davids. So maybe that's a representation of all the multiple personalities all in the one space.
Yeah.
So we'll find out.
I know we're almost out of time, but in the chat, Broke Blackman says, what about Professor X inhabiting someone else's body to communicate with David? So then
you don't
have to have an expensive cameo from James McAvoy, but you also don't have to cast someone else as Professor X. And it's just
like that.
Yeah. So I think that if we were to see him, that's the sort of thing that makes sense. Maybe some people would feel like that's a cop out, but I'm okay with that.
It kind of works because it's or it'd be some kind of psychic connection. Like he's using, Cerebro to reach out to him, you know, like he's not, doesn't have to physically be there, but like reaching out to David.
And he's aware that David is his son at this point. Because I know he didn't know about him for a while.
That's a good question.
Oh, does Professor Xavier know? I don't know that. Well, David is definitely aware of him because he refers to him as, you know, my father defeated the Shadow King. Like, he knows that. And so we assume that Professor Xavier knows, but we have no reason to be sure. So that is a good question.
And also, when we had our guest here, they did talk about how yes, the show is following the comics, but not exactly, too. So yeah.
Not
it's
really
like,
that close, actually.
Yeah. So then they might not even approach it that way at all.
Yeah. True. Right,
it's more
exactly.
like inspired by the comics rather than like following them. Yeah.
Right. I don't think you would be able to very closely adapt them.
No.
Xavier Jones Jr.'s question is, so was it just the Shadow King that lived in David's mind all of his life, or was it Farouk too? Because there's this slight differentiation of Farouk and the Shadow King are not exactly one and the same, but you know, much in the way that all of the that Farouk has sort of inhabited all these people, the Shadow King sort of like, you know, looms over him. It's a good question. I don't have the answer, but I wanted to share it. Yeah.
That is a great question.
So what, any other predictions for the finale? I mean, we kind of said how much will be wrapped up, but what other things do we think we might see?
Ooh, I'm looking forward to see what Sid does.
Yeah.
I'm
I hope she steps up.
I'm hoping she steps up, but a little part of me is kind of thinking that she's that she's done with David.
I also expect you know, the reformed Lenny the hero is not who we're going to see next week. There's definitely she's going to be up to her old tricks, let's put it that way. I think there's going to be something that
I'm not entirely convinced that she's free of Farouk at all.
Also true. Yeah, I mean, she might be up to her old tricks because of Farouk's influence, but
Or she's just going to fail in the hour of need.
Yeah.
Like, because she's just herself of like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be doing a thing. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Leave your predictions down below. And that pretty much wraps us up. Thank you so much for watching. Where can everybody find you guys?
Everyone can find me on Instagram at Xia_land. It's XIA_LAND. And you can catch me here Thursday nights at 7 p.m. for the Archer After Show.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at ChristianDMZ. And as I may or may not have mentioned a couple of times, Carrie and myself and Amy Cassandra Martinez, who's sometimes on this panel, we host Marvel TV Weekly Sundays at 10 Pacific. And yes, I realize that that's Monday morning at 1 a.m. for those of you on the East Coast, but you can always watch the archive or on iTunes. So find the show there.
Yeah. Well, glad to have you with us. It's fun for a fill-in for sure. And my name is Carrie Lane. You guys can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. Thank you again so much for watching, and we'll see you all next week for the finale. Woo!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.